Any more time? All right. We have our, are we down with our slides? There we go. Authentic you. Now to me that sounds like, and I know if I were sitting where you're at, I'm thinking, this is like something that I would wake up seeing when I forget to turn the TV off, you know, and you've seen this guy, like some cheesy commercial of some dude with the glasses that have the fake mustache. My apologies to all you that have mustaches and real glasses. But, you know, you're in one of those infomercials, you wake up and there is this guy saying, hey, you can be authentic you, and it's real cloudy, and he's just trying to sell tapes. And this is what this reminds me of. But what I want you to know is that we all desire to live here. We all desire this. You're going to see this, I think, in this. We dream to be authentic. We're drawn to people that are authentic. Most of us like people that are authentic, even if we don't believe like they do. There's just something that draws us to them because they're real. And I don't know about you, but I find it hard to be real in this world today. What is real? You know, that kind of thing. I mean, when you look, I mean, there are new magazines, hundreds of magazines that come out monthly, and they have all of this stuff going on, you know, men's fitness, big arms fast. That's not authentic, man. Anybody that's worked out, you don't get it big arms fast. Now, it says Stallone and The Rock's top tips. Well, you know, it's not going to be curls. It's going to be some juice. Yeah, you can grow bigger that way. How about this? Lucky, effortless beauty. Listen, the product on my sink from my wife getting ready tells me this is not authentic, okay? There's a lot of product there. And I know what you're thinking, it's probably my product. There's not a lot of hair. They can't work with this. I don't need product, right? How about this one? What Allie Larder eats to get this body, okay? What I'd like to have is genetic code differentiate, you know, not her diet. Like, what does it take? And every guy can relate to this one, man. How many times has your wife picked up this magazine or one like it, turned to a page and says, this is the hairstyle that I want. They rip it out. They go to a salon or whatever they're called now. They go to get their hair done. And this is the picture. And they come home, and they don't look anything like this picture. Their hair doesn't, okay? And they're all upset, and they wasted $80 or whatever they spent to cut their hair. And they, you know, but there's just like, hey, you can have these hairstyles. This can be you. And it's like, maybe if you have a team of people like they did, airbrushing and fan blowing or whatever, just it's like this thing we desire, but we don't know where to find it. How do you get this stuff? And one of the cool things about LifePoint that I've heard about our church is people say over and over again, this place is real. This place is authentic. I felt welcome here. I felt like I could be. I had somebody say it to me 2 days ago. I felt like I could be myself there. There's no airs with people. People seem to really care. And I always respond, we are, they are, whatever the case may be. But then there is one thing, and this is just me sharing, there is one thing that is a little awkward for me. People say, Jamie, not only is the church authentic, but you're authentic and real. Or raw, excuse me, you're raw. And maybe somebody can clarify that for me, because I, you know, am I raw like undiscovered band that you like raw? You know what I mean? Or am I raw like diamond in a mine raw? That would be awesome. But what if, I don't know, and I don't ask, what if it's, I need talcum powder for the chafing kind of raw? Now you've got to know, when I'm finished speaking and somebody says, let me give you my emotional ability as soon as this service is over and I've laid it all on the line up here and I've presented a message I spent hours working on, my self-esteem bounces somewhere between, at that moment, between a kid entering puberty and walking through the mall thinking everybody on a bench is talking about you. That's where I land, okay? So when somebody says, man, you are authentic and raw, I don't ask, because at that moment I can't handle if it's a bad answer. Most people live in abstract fear of someone knowing who they really are. And here's the weird part. This is so strange. Yet most people long to be known
and accepted for who they really are. It's so weird. Most people live in this abstract fear that they're going to be known, they're going to be found out, they're going to be known that they're not quite as good a dad as they make themselves out to be, or quite as good a boss or a husband. They live in this abstract fear, and yet there's this innate desire for people to know who you really are and who you are at your core, and not only do that, but accept you as you really are. Here's the good news. God wants authentic you. God loves authentic you. With every command in the Bible, God is speaking to that most real part of who you are, trying to help you become what Jesus desires for you to be. In every thought and every nudge that God does from the Bible that we push back on, he's like, let me have this area of your life. It's so you can be real to yourself, so you can be authentic. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus gave this amazing command. And in those three verses, we've taken it and we said, okay, those three verses are really hard to remember. You know, it's good to memorize them, but they're really hard to remember on the spot. So we took those verses at LifePoint and we said, Jesus' will for our life, passion for our life, is to discover him and to go be him. He wants you and I to discover him, to be real with questions, our doubts, our fears. He wants us to come as we are in faith, no fronting, no religious training needed. He wants us to believe on Jesus as we are. I mean, like right where you're living, and then begin to follow him. And here's the cool part about God. God knows to be authentic with him and to be authentic with yourself, that you and I need him because we can't do it on our own. I mean, God is real from in the inception of a relationship with you and I. But then he wants us to go be him. God is amazing here too, man. It's amazing. He is real about what it takes to make a difference. He's real about what it helps you grow and mature as a Jesus follower. Some of it, I mean, he is so real about this, man. And that's what this series is about, is authentic you, building your faith, cutting away all the fluff, saying, what does it really take? We've got all these preferences, we've got all these worries, we've got all these concerns, but where the metal hits the meat, where the rubber hits the road, what does it mean to be Jesus? What does it mean to be a maturing? What does it mean to be godly? All of that kind of stuff. And some of it, here's the thing, Jesus was so awesome about this. We're gonna see this in the series. Some of it is inward and intensely personal. I mean, some of it, it's you and him. Some of it, nobody else needs to know. Some of it, and I love this about Jesus. I mean, if you were gonna be starting a revolution of faith, I don't know that I would do what Jesus did. Jesus started off by saying, let me begin my ministry by healing people and raising the dead. That is really frightening. Let me begin my ministry by saying this. Jesus, not me, not Jamie, but Jesus would say, I am the only God, the only way to heaven. I am the only true God that requires your faith. That's pretty huge. But then he didn't even hold back. He said, listen, I'm gonna be authentic with you. Some of this is gonna be intensely personal and some of it is gonna require change. I don't know that I would have said that out of the gate, but Jesus was saying, listen, I want you to be real and I'm gonna be real with you. Some of it, oddly, is extensively outward and nudges us out of ourselves. I mean, there are things that make you grow that God wants to give you peace and fulfillment in. And it's crazy, man. You would think it would be like intensely personal, go to a monastery or something like that. You're like, no, bonk, out of the nest, out of your security blankets, away from everything you've known. And he gives you, remember, we can't do that. I mean, like, if we're being authentic, I can't do that on my own. You can't do it on your own. God said, listen, I can help you do that. In every area, Jesus wants us to be real with him, real with ourselves, real with other people. And today we're gonna look at a guy named Levi. His friends called him Matthew. And it's this area, what we're gonna see in his life in being authentic, it's this area that is very uncomfortable as a Jesus follower. Probably more uncomfortable than other areas. My personal opinion, I think it's because it invokes a lot of fear. It challenges our street creds. It really does. It's one of those spiritual areas that seem to make you question, man, do I really know what I'm talking about? What do I really believe? Am I ready? Am I good enough? And Jesus unpacks a dialogue between him and Matthew that gives us some insight into this. I want you to check this out with me. Matthew chapter 9. You ready for this? Matthew chapter 9. Jesus is modeling what he asked and commanded from every Jesus follower. I mean, discover Jesus and go be Jesus is what God wants for every single person that is ever born, that will ever live, no matter their career, their color, their language, their culture, their background. Everybody, God wants this, and he models it. I mean, how authentic is Jesus, man? In this quest to make disciples, check this out. Matthew 9, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting in his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many of the tax collectors and the other disreputable sinners, like pimps, prostitutes, people that were addicted, people that were heavy liars. They were real successful, but they were liars. They're extortionists. I mean, here they are. But when the Pharisees saw this, the religious people, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? They just laid it out there. Very rarely do you see Jesus interject the way he does. Usually those people kind of fight it out, and then he'll talk with them. If they get in over their head, he'll rescue them. But this just really set him off. Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Then he added, this is awesome. I want you to show mercy and not offer sacrifices, for I've come not to call those that are think they are righteous, but know who they are, sinners. He just said, I want you to go and learn the meaning of this scripture. Hey, Mr. Bible man, go learn the meaning of this while I'm meeting with people that need me. And here we are. Jesus is modeling, making disciples. Here's the thing, man. Making disciples begins with finding someone who doesn't know Jesus and introducing them to him. I mean, and I want to be honest with you. Now, Andy, tell Andy to tweet this if he's in here. It's easier to present risen Jesus than robed Jesus. We loved robed Jesus. Robed Jesus is over there. It's in the past. He's really cool. He hugs on kids. He walks around with a lamb in pictures. He's got, you know, like this big long thing that just, you know, helps people come back to him. And he's real pathetic looking. We love robed Jesus. But robed Jesus is not near as effective. It's a lot easier to introduce risen Jesus than risen Jesus than robed Jesus. Jesus, I want you to see this, man. This is the story. He's going about his business. Jesus Christ is. He sees Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. People hated tax collectors, so Matthew was a guy people hated. He was a guy that church people would look at and be like, he'll never come here. He'll never find God. Even his coworkers, people that didn't know Jesus, would be like, yeah, that guy will never follow God, ever. And here's the cool thing, man. Jesus is giving us an example of stepping around our fear. He knows real love and real truth go a long way. Jesus knows when people are real with themselves. When you're alone, we all want someone to care. We all want purpose in our lives. We may push back on all of that church talk or religious talk, but we want purpose. We want peace. I mean, Matthew had cash. Matthew had power. Matthew had influence, but Matthew needed Jesus. You got to look at it from Jesus' standpoint. I mean, Jesus being friends with Matt meant losing some of his other friends. It meant reaching out to Matt. Matt may reject Jesus. And other people who didn't like Matt and some people who did may reject Jesus. But Jesus was authentic. He said, listen, my care, I'm going to reach out in love. And I know that sounds kind of touchy-feely, but what that means is I care enough to reach out. I care enough. Listen, I've got all of this risk on me, but I'm walking along in my life. I got all this pressure, but I've got my radar on, and I say, who needs Jesus? Who needs Jesus? I've got my radar on. Matthew needs Jesus. And you know, as he approaches him, Jesus is human. What's it going to cost me? Is anybody going to see this? Am I going to be embarrassed? Are you going to be embarrassed? Are you going to reject me? And Jesus stepped over all of that, just this little speed bump. And it's almost impossible to believe, and I think that's part of the reason why God maybe wrote it in here. You know, Matthew believes on Jesus Christ. I mean, he said, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want you to be mine. And we don't know the conversation that went on between verses 9 and 10. If you read some versions, it seems like there's an elapsed time. Some of them, and the Bible kind of does that depending on the version. It looks like it just like happened, boom, 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 like a machine gun. But we don't know how long the time lapse frame. We don't know the conversations between him and Jesus. And between, we don't know the messages he heard Jesus preach. We don't know if Jesus challenged. But there was this moment that Matthew was authentic about the needs of the people around him, about his associates, about his acquaintances. There was just this moment where he said, listen, if I'm being real with myself, I wanted nothing to do with God, I wanted nothing to do with faith, I wanted nothing to do with religion, especially, and here comes Jesus. And Jesus says, listen, and we don't know all that transpired, but we know that he trusted Christ. And here Matthew is now a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, and he's looking around. He's seeing his friends. He's seeing people he extorted money from. That's what tax collectors did back then. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? He saw people that didn't like him. He saw people that he partied with all the time, and he knew that they were using him, but that was as close to friendship as he would get. And Matthew asked this question, keeping it real in the veil, for himself, who needs to know what I know? Who needs to know that I know? I mean, who in my world? Okay, listen. I mean, if I'm tracking and I say I didn't know Jesus and I found Jesus and I believe that everybody needs what I have, Jesus. I believe that everybody wants what I wanted when I found Jesus: peace and purpose and hope. And effectiveness and power to live and just to be connected. He said, I've got to be real with it. Now, he had a ton of excuses that could have been his exit ramps. He had a lot of good ones, man. I mean, he wasn't liked. He wasn't religious. His decision had not had time to trump his reputation. He had a reputation of being a jerk, of being someone that was hated, of being a person no one would consider was a God follower, and his decision hadn't had time to trump that. He had no street creds yet, none. I mean, he felt more than he knew. Didn't know the Bible. He knew extortion laws. He knew hustle 101. He did that every day. He had nothing about the Bible. He didn't have it all together. His only friends were party friends. But he asked this question: who needs to know what I know? Who needs to know what I know? And he decided to have a barbecue. I think this is awesome. It didn't cross his mind to do a Bible study. It did not cross his mind to do a Bible study. He simply asked, who needs to know what I know? When Matthew began to follow Jesus, I want you to get this. It's important. Before enough time lapsed, we would say, you know, Matthew, you've been reading your Bible a lot, you've been praying, you've been going to church. I think it's time you start reaching out. You know, like you've been saved for 5 years and you've taken 50 classes, you've read a lot of Bible, you've heard 10 years of messages. Why don't you go be a Jesus follower to other people? Mm-mm. There was not enough time lapse. He didn't know what to do. In most people's minds, he's not ready, but Jesus thought he was ready. How do you know, Jay? He showed up to the party. Matthew said, I don't know what else to do. I'm going to throw a party. And he began to think about his friends and his acquaintances and the people around him, the people that he noticed every day that were devoid of God's love. And he said, I found peace. And I'm worried, man. I wonder if I'm going to get asked questions that I can't answer. I wonder if people will call me a hypocrite. I wonder if people will say, this is just another trick by Matthew to extort people of money. He's getting close to this new rabbi. It's this revolutionary thing that everybody's buying into. It's kind of like this big hype in marketing. I wonder what he's up to. He was stepping around all of that. But he wasn't driven by that. He just said, listen, I found peace. I found Jesus. And some of you I know, because you've been saved a long time, you're thinking, I wish I were a young Christian again. I wish I were excited like Matthew again. This may be the thing that's missing. There's no shelf life for this. You can have gotten saved, kept it a secret, never told anybody, and find yourself 5, 6, 7 years later at LifePoint Church, and God says, listen, here's the question that I want you to ask yourself. Who needs to know? I want you to be authentic with you. Who needs to know what you know? All Matthew knew was Jesus, his own story, and how he had let Jesus become a part of his story. That's all he knew. He didn't know the Old Testament. He didn't know how to play religious games. He didn't have a Jesus saves robe on, you know, like Jesus saves, you know, I'm a fisher, a man. He didn't have any of that stuff. He didn't have a, you know, like a hat, you know, like John Deere or Jesus Christ or some kind of convoluted, you know, mainstream thing that they changed to be Jesus stuff, you know. He had none of that. He just had a story. And his story was basically not very cool to tell. Like, I'm a jerk to people. People don't like me. I rob people. Most of you coming out of the gate are light years ahead of where Matthew was when it comes to your relationships and when it comes to the world that you operate in and the people that know you. He didn't say, listen, I don't have it all together yet. That's the excuse we use. I don't have it all together yet, which really is us cowering behind fear. He didn't say, you know, I don't have time for that. The kids are busy. He just said, listen, he looked around and he said, who needs to know what I know about Jesus Christ? And he brings his friends together. And he intersects Jesus and his story and his friends all in one place. And God begins to do crazy things. God begins to do what he does when you and I do that in our lives. We say, listen, all I've got is my story. And that there was this time in my life when Jesus came into my story. And some of us, we would say, I haven't even lived for Jesus. And I'm in this story. He's in my story. And God says, listen, just wherever you start, I want you to get real. I want you to get authentic with me. Because this is one of the things I need you to do in your life. This is one of the things that's going to help you grow. This is one of the things you say, I want to grow. I want to be more spiritual. I want to be more godly. I want to know about God. I want to understand faith. God says, here's a great place to start with authentic you. Who needs to know what I know? Now, this isn't saying, you know, what other people go to another church that you can talk about. See, Matthew didn't do that. Matthew could have come to Jesus and said, listen, who are some of your other followers? Because I'd like to talk to you with them. I'd like to share my story with them. It didn't even cross his mind. He didn't begin there. That's where we kind of hide as Christians. I don't know about you, that's where I've hidden a lot. But if I'm being authentic with you, and I hope that you'll be authentic with yourself, and then maybe you and I can talk and you can tell me how God got a hold of you with this, and you begin to say, who needs to know what I know? And we stop looking around and saying, I bet he's a church person. I bet she's a Christ follower. Why? Because she doesn't cuss, really? Because her grandpa's a preacher, really? That's the basis of you not reaching out and saying, who needs to know what I know? I mean, God wants all of us to do this. I wish that I could impart the power of your story. You think that you need to know a ton of Bible verses. Knowing a ton of Bible verses is awesome. And if you read the Bible after a number of years, you'll know a ton of verses. Hours of prayer are phenomenal. I encourage you to do it. It's a game changer. But hours of prayer are not necessary for what we're talking about. Your story is so powerful. The God of the universe died and rose again. And for some of you here today, you don't know Jesus. He's waiting to come in your life. He's waiting for that invitation. And you will become a Jesus follower today. But some of you sit on the sidelines. Say, I'm not outgoing. Or I've failed God. Or I've been out of the game for a while. Or I'm quiet. Or I'm not well liked. And there are people all around you. Because it's not about you. It's about them
and their need of God. That's the hardest part for us. We can't get out of our own way. Your story is amazing. Creator God of the universe has invaded your story. You don't have to be a biker that dealt drugs, that killed people, that went to prison to have a story. You don't have to have grown up in church and never sinned and never messed up so you can have the perfect story to tell. You don't have to do that. You just got to look around you and say, you know what? I was going through my life, and somehow somebody else's story and God's love intersected my life. And the lights came on, and I believed on Jesus. And now he's a part of my story. And I look around me, and it's not out of judgment. It's not out of fear. It's not out of condemnation. It's not out of being right or them being the wrong faith. It's looking around and saying, who needs to know what I know? Who needs to know about this? Who's around you that's peaceless? Who's around you captured by fear? Who's around you that's been abused, that doesn't know Jesus Christ? They have gone to catechism. They've been Catholics. They've been Baptists. They've been Nazarenes. They've been Church of God. They've been non-denominational. They've been whatever their whole life, and they don't know Jesus. What do they need to know that you know? It's amazing to me. In the story, and I wouldn't even mention it if Jesus hadn't, but here comes the religious people. Here comes the religious people that would not believe what they needed to believe. They killed him eventually, Jesus Christ. They would not do what the Bible said to do. They even twisted the Bible, the meaning of it, to mean one thing. And they kind of came to Jesus and they said, you know, it's about this. We're politically concerned. We're religious people. And Jesus, it aggravates him enough to tell them, what I'm talking about with Matthew is not that, it's this. Oh yeah, and that is about this. Go spend some time with God. Those of you that act like you know God, they're real religious and trying to fight it. And they're like, no. You're telling these people, you're trying to blind them. It is about asking this question and sharing their story, and you're trying to get them over on that when it's about this. And oh, let me tell you, that is really about this. It's about God's love. See, because that's what the enemy does in our lives. That distant, just stay distant, stay distorted. It never becomes personal. The scripture's the challenge. When it's always that, this never becomes personal. It never becomes authentically part of you. We always avoid reality and responsibility, and we appear to be religious. And inside, we're dying. And inside, we're purposeless. And inside, we're devoid of mission. But Jesus said, this, it's not about that, it's about this. So go figure out what that is, but you know that that's about this, because this is about love. This is about challenge. This is about a truth that causes us to be real about our need of Jesus Christ and others' needs of Jesus Christ, and what point and what part we choose to play. Your story is very powerful. God being a part of your story is transferable. Not only is it powerful, man, it's so freaking unbelievably transferable, because Jesus died for all of us and rose again for all of us. It's for any and all of us. And we just have to stop. We have to look around and ask with the intention of being a part of the solution. See, because we can watch World Hungry and we can get a burden and we can get tears in our heart and we can get, you know, we can feel it for just a moment, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about looking around in your life. Some people you will love, some people you will hate. Some people you'll want to spend a lot of time with, some people you'll hope after you tell their story you never have to spend any time with. But it's looking around and saying, who needs to know what I know? Who needs to know what I know about Jesus? And do what Matthew did. He looked around and just saw people. They need what I need. They need to know what I need to know. Even if I won't preach at them, I'm just going to tell them my story and what God did for me and say, he can do the same for you.
And I don't even know how to do this, Matthew said effectively. Matthew said, I want to do this, but I don't even know how to do this, so what am I going to do? Okay, I'm going to throw a big party. I'm going to bring Jesus over. I'm going to bring the other Christians over because they know how to tell this stuff better than I do. It's kind of like when you invite people, invest and invite. When you invite people to LifePoint, you build this relationship, bring them out, and they hear about Jesus, and they become a Jesus follower with you. Boom. Same principle. I don't know a lot of Bible. I don't know what to say. I just got the story. Oh, yeah, let me get some other Christians. Let me get Jesus, and let me intersect these with my friends' lives. And it was a game changer for them, many of them. You know, as you look around in your life, as you step around the stress of your marriage and stress of your credit card bills and stress of where you're headed and what your needs are and how you're hurting and how you're wanting and what was done to you, and all of those are important to God, by the way. It's all part of your story. It's all part of being authentic. But looking around and saying, who needs to know what I know? Not in arrogance and gratitude, not in judgment, but in belief that God wants to be a part of their life too, in faith. And you step out of that comfort zone and reach into the world. Jesus did the hardest example. He stepped in the worst possible scenario, took the greatest risk. And the dude said, yeah, I want that. I want to follow you. I'm in. Oh, yeah, and I got a bunch of friends that need what you're talking about. Can we party together? You tell them the same thing you told me? Jesus said, absolutely. And all the religious people sit around and said, we're not going to do that. We're going to point fingers and judge and criticize and talk about coordinates and analyze what you just did. And Jesus is like, yeah, that's why you're not really my followers. You're like graves. You're dead inside. You're hellbound. You're not connected to me. It wasn't about religion. It's about faith. God loves you so much. Your story is so powerful. What I want to encourage you to do this week, to be authentic, to be a real Jesus follower, those of you that are, to look around and then pray for an opportunity, but to say, who needs to know what I know? And then take a step to help them find out. Let's pray together. Father, you're amazing.